Welcome to the deep dive. If you've ever, stared at a blank screen trying to wrestle your thoughts into clear, compelling sentences, you are definitely not alone.
Oh, absolutely. We've all been there.
It's a common struggle. So today, we're taking your sources on transforming written communication, and our mission is to pull out the most practical, really impactful insights.
Yeah, the kind that make a real difference.
Exactly. The kind that turn writing from maybe a chore into, well, a powerful tool for your professional life.
That's right. And this isn't just about polishing sentences, is it? It's about mastering a really crucial skill, essential for anyone wanting to be well-informed, influential.
Especially now, things move so fast.
Right, especially in the business world. Mm-hmm. Clear writing isn't just like an art form, though it can be. It's a strategic advantage. We're going to show you how to shift from messages that make readers go, huh?
Yeah, the head scratchers.
To ones that make them nod and say, wow, okay, I get it.
I love that goal. Okay, so we're going to explore the essential writing process, planning, drafting, revising.
The fundamentals.
Right. Then we'll get into the surprisingly powerful impact of using plain language.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also dive into refining your tone and style for specific business situations and master some advanced techniques like active voice and parallel structure.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. And finally, we'll add that finishing touch looking strategically at grammar and mechanics. Think of this as your shortcut to communication that's professional, clear, and confidently impactful. Ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's unpack this first big idea, the writing process. I know for some of us, hearing writing process might trigger like flashbacks to school essays.
Right, maybe a little dread.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for professional communication, it's really not an ordeal. It's more like a systematic approach, a kind of proven recipe for turning vague ideas into, well, polished, influential documents. It's really just a simple three-phase framework.
It absolutely is. And if we think about the bigger picture here, writing without a plan, it's like trying to build, complex software without any code written down.
Or driving cross-country with no map.
Exactly. Or setting off on a road trip without even knowing where you're going. You're almost guaranteed to get lost, wander off topic, and just waste a lot of valuable time. Planning is kind of the silent architect of effective communication.
That roadmap idea really clicks. Mm-hmm. It highlights getting your thoughts straight before you even start writing. So let's break down how to do that effectively. Phase one, planning.
The crucial first step.
This is where you define your goal. What do you actually want your reader to do or understand after reading? Then, who's your audience? And what are the key messages? It's the who, what, and why before the how.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, let's say you need to announce new office security procedures. Your plan might look like this.
Yeah.
Audience is all employees. Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly explain the new rules for compliance, especially getting everyone using the new badge system.
Right. The core objective.
And your key points would be maybe. An overview of the new system, the specific steps employees need to take, and a clear timeline. Boom. You've basically just built your communication blueprint right there.
And once you have that blueprint, that plan, you move into phase two, drafting.
Okay.
Now, this is the messy part. It can be chaotic, creative.
Yeah.
The main goal here is just to get all your ideas down on paper or on the screen.
Don't worry about perfection yet.
Absolutely not. Resist that urge. Think of your first draft like a sculptor's initial lump of clay. It might look rough, maybe even a bit awkward.
That's okay.
Totally normal. It's necessary, actually. This is your space for free thought. A really practical tip here is to silence that inner critic. Maybe set a timer, 20, 30 minutes, and just type.
Just the fingers moving.
Yeah. And allow placeholders. It's fine to write insert Q3 sales statistic here if you don't have it handy. That rough draft of the security email might just be, hey, everyone, new badge thing for security. Everyone needs one. Starts next month. Get it at HR. Training soon.
Well,
it's incomplete, sure, but the core ideas are captured.
Got it. So plan, then draft. Messy is okay. Which brings us to the third phase, revising.
Ah, the transformation stage.
This is where the magic really happens, right? Where that rough clay, that raw draft gets shaped into something polished and professional. Revision isn't just spell checking.
Not at all. It's much more strategic.
It's like your editing superpower. You refine your arguments, tighten sentences for maximum impact, improve the overall structure so it flows well, and enhance readability. You'll probably do a content check. Are the points logical? Compelling.
Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
A tone check. Does it fit the audience and purpose? A clarity check. Get rid of jargon. Make it concise. And finally, yeah, the grammar and style check. Catch errors. Ensure smooth flow.
It's a multi-layered process.
Definitely. Let's look at that security email again after revision. Subject: New security badge procedures starting June 1. Dear team, to enhance office security, we will implement a new badge entry system beginning June 1. Here's what you need to know. Then maybe bullet points. 1. All employees need a badge for entry exit. 2. Pick up badges from HR starting May 15. 3. Mandatory training week of May 20. Invite to follow. Thanks for your cooperation. Best, Jamie, Facilities Manager.
See the difference. Concise, professional, actionable. Huge transformation.
Night and day.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is that this process plan, draft, revise, it's not always strictly linear. You don't just do step one, then step two, then step three, and you're done.
Right. You might loop back.
Exactly. You might be revising and realize you need to adjust your plan slightly, or maybe redraft a whole section based on a new insight. It's a flexible framework, not rigid rules.
Yeah.
And the more you practice it, honestly, the more intuitive it becomes. You're building a habit of strategic clarity.
That makes sense. It's a flexible tool, not a cage.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have that solid foundation, the writing process. Now let's talk about a core principle that can instantly boost your communication. Plain language.
Ah, yes. Very important.
And let's clear this up first. Plain language does not mean dumbing down your message. That's a common misconception.
Right. It's not about simplification to the point of being simplistic.
Exactly. It's about being unmistakably clear, straightforward, and frankly, respectful of your reader's time and their mental energy. Think of it as like the secret handshake of great communicators.
That's a good way to put it. Plain language really means crafting your message so your specific audience can easily understand it the first time they read it.
No rereading needed.
Ideally, no. It involves stripping away unnecessary complexity, bureaucratic jargon, those really long, tangled sentences that just seem to go on forever.
We've all seen those.
Oh, yeah. It's clear, it's concise, it's precise. And why does this matter so much in business? Well, our sources consistently show that plain language dramatically boosts readability. It improves accessibility for everyone, and critically, it ensures your messages get across quickly and clearly. That saves time and prevents costly misunderstandings.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because we can actually break down some specific plain language principles that have a big impact. First up, choose familiar words. This isn't just about sounding simple. It's about reducing cognitive load.
Right, making it easy for the brain to process.
Our sources point out that every time a reader has to pause and decode jargon or an unfamiliar word, their brain works harder and they're less likely to grasp your main point. So instead of something like, we're endeavoring to ameliorate our customer satisfaction metrics.
Which sounds fancier, maybe.
Maybe, okay. But it takes effort to unpack. Compare that to, we're working to improve customer satisfaction. It's absorbed instantly. The reader focuses on the action, not your vocabulary. Okay, next principle. Use short sentences and paragraphs. Don't wear your readers out. Think visually, a huge block of text is intimidating.
It really is. A wall of words.
Yeah, a long sentence like, in order to fully optimize our company's resources, which are currently under significant strain due to recent expansions and market shifts, it's advisable that we thoroughly reassess our operational methodologies to identify potential areas of improvement.
Oof. Takes a deep breath just to read it.
Right. Contrast that with, our resources are currently stretched thin. We should reassess our operations to find areas we can improve. Much easier to digest.
Mm.
Shorter sentences reduce that cognitive burden. Then there's the issue of avoiding unnecessary jargon and acronyms. This creates that inside-outsider divide. Unless you are absolutely positive, your reader knows exactly what you mean.
Spell it out.
Spell it out. The ROI of our latest SEO initiative far exceeded Q2 KPIs. Might be fine for your marketing team, but for a wider audience. Our latest search engine optimization initiative delivered better results than expected in the second quarter. That shows respect and ensures everyone's on the same page. We also touched on using active voice. We'll dive deeper later, but just remember, we made mistakes is clearer and more direct than mistakes were made.
Assigns responsibility.
Yep. And then be specific. Vague language is the enemy of action. Please provide some additional details. When, what details, how.
Leaves people guessing.
Totally. Instead, please email me 3 specific features you'd like included by Wednesday at noon. No ambiguity drives action. And finally, format for readability. Use visual cues. Nobody likes eye strain or getting lost. Break up text. Use headings, subheadings, bullet points, white space.
Make it scannable.
Exactly. Turn that dense paragraph about a new product line into a clear, scannable, bulleted list. It guides the reader's eye and makes complex info digestible.
And there's one more crucial principle, often overlooked: test your writing. Get fresh eyes on it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Even seasoned writers benefit. Ask colleagues, maybe friends outside your field, take a quick look. Ask them, what's the main point here? Or was anything confusing? If they hesitate, your intended audience probably will too.
That makes sense. Like user testing for writing.
Exactly. Take that clunky training announcement example. Pursuant to our departmental policy adjustments, a training session will be facilitated by management to elucidate new operational protocols.
Oh, boy.
Right. With plain language and maybe a quick test run, it becomes, we're holding a training session to explain the department's new policies. Managers will lead this session. Much clearer, right?
Instantly understandable. So plain language isn't about being simple-minded. It's strategic. It enhances your professional voice, makes you sound more authoritative, actually.
It really does. Clarity is authority.
Your readers will appreciate it, and your professional image gets a boost. Okay, building on that, let's talk refining tone, structure, and style for business audiences. You know that saying, it's not what you said, it's how you said it.
Crucial in business communication. Survival advice, really.
Totally. You can think of refining your writing like choosing the right outfit for an occasion. There's a specific look that sends the right message for a formal dinner versus a casual Friday, right? Same with writing.
That's a perfect analogy. So step one here, choose the right tone. Tone is the personality, the attitude behind the words. It shapes how readers perceive your message and you.
Hugely important.
In business, generally, you want a tone that's clear, confident, and critically appropriate for the context. Too formal. You might sound stiff, aloof, too casual. You could undermine your credibility. Finding that sweet spot is key.
So how do you find that sweet spot? What are the strategies?
Well, first and foremost, know your audience. This is critical. Executives. They usually want concise, data-driven, results-focused communication. Cut to the chase.
Bottom line up front.
Exactly. Customers. Generally, you want a tone that's friendly, helpful, approachable, your own team. Maybe more collaborative, direct, depending on your culture.
Can you give an example? Maybe that executive email?
Sure. Too casual might be. Hey, boss, got that report, done some cool stuff in there. Look when I can. Not professional enough.
Right.
Too stiff could be. Attached herein, please find the requested report formulated pursuant to your prior directive, available for your immediate perusal. A bit much.
Definitely overkill.
The just right version. Something like, please find attached the completed sales report you requested. Let me know if you have any questions. Confident, clear, respectful.
Makes sense. What else for tone?
Another big one. Use positive language. This can subtly shift the whole feel of an interaction. Instead of an accusatory, you failed to submit your expense reports.
Which puts people on the defensive.
Immediately. Try, could you please submit your expense reports today? It's framed as a request, fostering cooperation, not confrontation.
Okay, tone is sorted. What about structure? You mentioned getting lost without street signs.
Right. Step two, organize your structure. Good structure guides readers effortlessly. Bad structure leaves them confused and frustrated. And this brings up that really important question. Are you burying your lead?
Ah, the cardinal sin of business writing. So structure tip number one, start with your main point.
Don't bury the lead.
Exactly. It's straight from journalism, but vital in business. People are busy. They need the core message now. So instead of a weak windup like, after reviewing various internal procedures and recent market shifts and considering stakeholder feedback.
Get to it.
Get to it. Start strong. We recommend implementing the new inventory system immediately to reduce delays. They know the key takeaway instantly. Then they can read on for details if needed. Okay, main point first. What else for structure?
Tick two. Use headings and subheadings. These are like signposts for your document. Absolutely essential for longer communication.
Helps with scanning.
Massively. If you're writing about, say, new remote work policies, use clear headings, introduction, benefits, proposed guidelines, timeline, next steps. Readers can scan, grasp the main points, and jump to relevant sections. It breaks up text and makes complex info much less daunting.
Good structure makes it easy. Now, what about style? Step three.
Right. Refine your writing style. This is where your unique professional voice comes through. It's about conveying ideas confidently, efficiently, being clear, concise, professional, making sure your writing reflects well on you.
So what are the style tips?
First, be direct. Business readers value directness. Don't meander. Instead of a rambling intro like, "We conducted extensive research, considered multiple strategies, weighed pros and cons, and ultimately concluded."
Say it.
Just say it. After reviewing several options, we recommend strategy A because it's cost-effective and easy to implement. Directness signals confidence and clear thinking.
Okay, directness. Anything else?
Avoid overly formal or fancy language. Your goal is clear communication, not showing off your vocabulary. We appreciate your swift attention regarding this most urgent matter. Sounds a bit stiff.
A simple thank you works.
Often, yes. Thank you for promptly addressing this important issue is professional, clear, and respectful without being overly formal or convoluted.
Got it. So when you combine good tone, clear structure, and direct style,
the impact is significant. Remember that vague remote work email? Hey, everyone, chatting about the remote work thing. Maybe set up some policies. Talk soon.
Yeah, very fuzzy.
Now, the refined version. Subject: planning new remote work policies. Dear team, management is considering implementing remote work policies. Our proposed next steps are: 1. Review best practices. 2. Draft guidelines. 3. Schedule team discussion next week. Please share initial thoughts by Friday.
So much better. Clear, professional, actionable.
Exactly. It establishes authority and outlines a clear path forward. That's the power of polishing these three elements.
That's a brilliant transformation. Okay, let's shift gears slightly to some advanced techniques that really add punch. Mastering active voice and parallel structure. These aren't just dusty grammar rules.
No, they're powerful tools.
They're like the secret ingredients that turn bland writing into something compelling and persuasive.
And what's fascinating about active voice is how it immediately puts the reader, well, not in the action, but it makes the action clear and direct. Active voice clearly states who is doing what.
Makes it more dynamic.
Definitely. Contrast. The sales team achieved record-breaking results last quarter. That's active, with record-breaking results were achieved last quarter. Passive. The active version tells you who gets the credit, right?
Right. How do you spot passive voice easily?
Look for forms of the verb to be, like is, was, were, are, been, followed by a past participle, like achieved, reviewed, completed. Often the person or thing doing the action, the actor, is either missing or tacked on at the end with by.
Like the proposal was reviewed by the committee.
Exactly. The active version.
Yeah.
The committee reviewed the proposal. Stronger, more direct. Now, passive voice isn't always wrong. Sometimes the actor is unknown or irrelevant, or you want to emphasize the action itself, like in scientific writing.
But usually active is better for business.
Generally, yes. For clarity, impact, and showing accountability, active voice is your go-to.
Okay. Active voice for punch. Now, what about parallel structure? You described it like a neat closet.
Huh, yes. It brings that same sense of order and clarity to your writing. Parallel structure means keeping lists and similar sentence structures consistent in their grammatical form. It makes your writing flow smoothly and is actually easier for the reader to process.
So consistency is key.
Absolutely. It's about using the same grammatical pattern. For instance, if you list goals like, our goals are increasing profits to improve customer satisfaction and better staff training. See how the forms jump around?
Mm-hmm.
Being. To infinitive, just a noun phrase.
Yeah, just a little bit clunky.
Right. The parallel version flows better. Our goals are to increase profits, to improve customer satisfaction, and to enhance staff training. All to infinitive. Or you could use all Akin forms. Increasing profits, improving satisfaction, enhancing training.
Ah, I see. Match the form.
Match the form. Maintain consistent patterns, balance sentence structures. This isn't just about being grammatically correct. It subtly helps the reader remember your points and reinforces your message. It feels more polished, more professional.
Okay, let's see them combined. Active voice and parallel structure. What was that example?
The original was something like, the sales report was completed. Profits were increased significantly, and improvement was seen in customer feedback. A bit passive and clunky.
Right.
The makeover using active voice and parallel structure. We completed the sales report, increased profits significantly, and improved customer feedback. All active verbs, all simple past tense.
Wow, yeah. Much clearer, more direct, more impactful. These really are strategic tools.
They absolutely are. Mastering them elevates your writing significantly.
Okay, we've covered process, plain language, tone, structure, style, active voice, parallel structure. Now for the final layer of polish. Reviewing grammar, punctuation, and mechanics.
The finishing touches.
Now, I know grammar and punctuation might not sound thrilling. Might even bring back some red pen anxiety from school.
Maybe a little.
But in professional writing, getting this stuff right is like your credibility insurance. It's not about memorizing obscure rules. It's about practical tips to make sure your writing is polished and free from errors that could undermine everything else you've done.
That's so true. Without solid grammar and punctuation, even a great message can fall apart. It leads to confusion, misinterpretation, or just makes readers doubt your attention to detail, your credibility.
Yeah, a single misplaced comma can change the meaning, right?
Easily. Or even cost money in a contract situation. These details matter.
Okay, let's hit some common grammar pitfalls.
Yeah.
First, subject-verb agreement. Sounds basic, but complex sentences can trip people up. Singular subject, singular verb, plural subject, plural verb. The team is ready, not the team are ready.
Right. Watch out for collective nouns or phrases between the subject and verb.
Good point. Next, pronoun confusion. This happens when it's unclear who or what a pronoun like he, she, it, or they refers to. Jake told Steve that he was late. Who? Jake or Steve?
Ambiguity is bad for business.
Especially for instructions. Be clear. Maybe. Jake told Steve you are late. Or rephrase to avoid the pronoun altogether if needed.
Right.
And a classic, dangling or misplaced modifiers. This is when a descriptive phrase doesn't clearly connect to the word it's supposed to describe. Often sounds funny, but it's confusing. Walking into the meeting, the laptop battery died.
Makes it sound like the laptop was walking.
Exactly. The fix. Walking into the meeting, I noticed my laptop battery had died. Make sure the modifier clearly points to the right noun.
Okay, those are key grammar traps. Now, punctuation power. Tiny marks, huge impact.
Let's do a quick review of punctuation basics, focusing on common business trip-ups. Commas. Use them for lists, paper, pens, and staples to set off introductory bits. After reviewing the report, we made changes. And around non-essential info, our CEO, Jane Smith, approved the policy. That Oxford comma, the last one in a list.
Ah, the debate.
Sources often highlight it's useful for preventing ambiguity, especially in complex lists or legal contexts. Better safe than sorry, maybe.
Often a good policy for clarity.
Apostrophes. Show possession, customers' opinions, or contractions. Mm-hmm. It's important for it is. Big confusion point.
Yeah.
It's possessive, like the dog wagged its tail, versus it's. Contraction for it is. Get that one right.
Very common error.
Rulings. Use them to introduce lists or explanations.
Mm-hmm.
We need three things. Clarity, conciseness, and accuracy. Semicolons. Handy for linking two closely related independent clauses. Stronger than a comma, not quite a full stop. We completed the report. Now we can implement the plan.
Connects related complete thoughts delegantly.
Okay, grammar, punctuation.
Oh, what about mechanics?
Mechanics are those small but crucial details.
Mm-hmm.
Formatting, spelling, capitalization. Consistency here really signals professionalism.
Right. So for capitalization, remember proper nouns, names, companies, job titles before a name, CEO, Tim Cook, and specific report or publication titles. For numbers, a common business style is spell out 1 through 9, 5 emails. Use numerals for 10 and up, 25 responses.
Consistency is the main goal with numbers and capitalization. Check your company's style guide if you have one. Good tip. Any quick tips for that final proofread?
Yes. A few tried and true ones. 1, read your writing aloud. You'll catch awkward phrasing and errors your eyes miss. 2, take a break before proofreading. Fresh eyes spot more mistakes. Even 15 minutes helps. 3, use spell check and grammar tools, but don't trust them blindly. Verify their suggestions. They miss context sometimes.
They're aids, not replacements for your brain.
Exactly. And 4, if possible, have a simple style guide for your team to ensure consistency, especially with things like capitalization, numbers, and common terms.
Let's see a final makeover example, putting grammar, punctuation, and mechanics together. Original messy bit.
Eh.
After reviewing the documents, mistakes were found in the finance department's report. It's clear there needed to be more thorough editing. The team's accuracy needs improved immediately and also their communication. Kind of a mess.
Yeah, run-ons, possessive errors, awkward phrasing.
Polished version. After reviewing the documents, we found mistakes in the finance department's report. Clearly, the team needs to improve both accuracy and communication immediately.
Much cleaner, much more professional. Proper punctuation, corrected possessive, smoother flow. It makes a huge difference in credibility.
Absolutely. Okay, wow, we've covered a ton today. 5 really powerful toolkits for transforming your writing. We started with the writing process, that plan, draft, revise framework.
The essential foundation.
Then we dove into plain language for that unbeatable clarity. We talked refining tone, structure, and style for your specific audience.
Tailoring the message.
Mastered active voice and parallel structure for impact and persuasion. And just now, added that crucial final polish with grammar, punctuation, and mechanics.
And remember, these skills aren't just about, you know, avoiding red marks. They're strategic. They're about crafting messages that truly connect, that enhance your credibility and ensure you're understood exactly as you intend.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener?
It means your writing can truly shine now. Every email, every report, every memo becomes more effective.
That really is the goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great writing, as we've seen, it's a journey. It's not like you reach a destination and you're done.
Continuous improvement.
Exactly. Keep applying these tools. Keep refining your skills. Mm. Communicate with clarity, professionalism, and real impact every single day. Your readers and, honestly, your career will definitely thank you for it.
Absolutely.
Until next time, keep diving deep.